The Boston Celtics get Evan Fournier. Short-term, long-term, what does that mean for the Boston Celtics? It's good and it's bad. I'm going to talk about it right here on the Friday Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I'm here for you Monday through Friday. So whatever it is that you're doing, wherever you're going, I appreciate you taking the show along with you. Hopefully, your day gets just a tiny bit better by listening to this podcast. I'm John Corrales. I host the show Monday through Friday. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. You can subscribe to Boston Sports Journal with the promo code Corrales. You'll get $5 off an annual subscription. That works out to be less than $3 a month. I'm also the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book now available online at online booksellers everywhere, and on my personal website, johncorrales.com, for a personalized signed copy. Please do that if you'd like. I think it's a fun thing to have if you enjoy the book. The Boston Celtics traded for Evan Fournier. A little bit of a curveball here. Celtics acquiring Evan Fournier for 2 second-round picks, acquiring him with the traded player exception, and then moving out Daniel Theis, Javonte Green, and Jeff Teague. That was a roster-clearing move, basically. So, first segment, the short-term, and then later the longer-term impact, and then a look at some of the other moves around the East and what happened with Aaron Gordon, and so that'll be in the third segment. So let's talk about the immediate, what the Celtics got. The Celtics got Evan Fournier, who is a 6'7 wing who can score, at all three levels, who can get to the basket. In a short-term sense, for this year's team, He's a great get. For this year's team, he's perfect. Like, I think this is the exact type of player that this team needs. This is going to shore up a lot of things. I think Danny Ainge got somebody that fans are going to enjoy, that I think over the next few weeks, we're going to see Evan Fournier do well. I think we're going to see Evan Fournier kind of erase some of the things that have been plaguing the Celtics. I think that he has the potential to take pressure away from Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. He can come in those middle sections, that second quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, where it's usually Tatum and the bench. Now it could be Tatum, Fournier in the bench, and that just adds another kind of dynamic wing scorer who can get off the pick and roll, who can come off of a handoff, who can shoot the three, who can draw fouls. By taking the pressure off of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker to a degree, Fournier can be can help unlock a little bit of that fourth quarter, that former fourth quarter magic, right? Like by not having to carry the offense as much as they have, Tatum and Brown can maybe save themselves a little bit. Fournier can go out there and be the main guy. And that will allow Tatum and Brown, especially, to not have to carry the workload as much, to maybe play 2 or 3 minutes less per game and play those 2 or 3 minutes less, you know, in the second or third quarters. And that preserves them a little bit. Maybe they can put in a little bit more defensive effort. Maybe they can have more legs for the fourth quarter. Maybe it's another guy that they can trust when it comes time to move the ball. When you see Evan Fournier in the corner, it's a little bit different than Semi Ojeleye in the corner. Although Semi's been hitting shots, and so has Grant Williams, but Evan Fournier is a much better player than they are. So that gives the Celtics offensively a really good wing. Now the Celtics have four really proven scorers. That's going to help. And because the Celtics defense flows off of their offense, then that should help the Celtics get more open shots. Because if you have Fournier on there as a starter, then he spaces the floor a little bit more. Now, I don't know what the Celtics are going to do as far as starting. Maybe you do start Smart and Kemba and Fournier. Or I think what makes more sense is, because they traded away Teague, you do have Pritchard, but you can start Kemba, Fournier, Tatum, Brown, and probably Robert Williams, and have a lot of space. Fournier spaces the floor. Smart comes off the bench, runs the second unit offense. You bring them in with Peyton Pritchard, two ball handlers, and you stagger guys. You know, you send Jaylen Brown to the bench or Jason Tatum to the bench first, and you stagger the minutes to maximize everybody's play here, and you have Marcus Smart as basically your second unit general, and then you can go small to finish the game if you want. You can pick if you have a lead and you want a defensive lineup. You can sit Kemba Walker and you go Smart, Fournier, Brown, Tatum, Robert Williams. Or if you need more beef, you can put Tristan Thompson out there. Or if you want more scoring, then you can sit Marcus Smart down the stretch and try to shoot your way back. Or you can play him and sit Tristan Thompson or sit Robert Williams and go super, super small and have Tatum or Brown play the five, quote unquote five. And you just have shooting all over the damn place. And you have a way to shoot your way back into a game while still maintaining a switchable defense. And obviously Kemba is the weak spot there. But there are ways that bringing in Fournier helps this year's team. And I think that by doing this, by bringing in a guy that can really help right now, it's going to ease a lot of the kind of the negative vibes. I think you're going to see Fournier make an impact, a positive impact. Also, by trading Tice, and I'll talk more about this in the second segment because this has more to do about the long-term impact, but by trading Tice, we talked, how long did we talk about the necessity of trading one of their centers to stop the double big lineups, to solidify kind of like the rotations and make it more consistent? And so that's a part of this. And I just think that consistency, more time for Robert Williams, maybe Robert Williams as the starter, maybe some more success, maybe that taking of the pressure off of Tatum and Brown and allowing them to close more games, solve some of the fourth quarter problems. And if those things happen, and I think that that can happen because Evan Fournier is good. He's a really good player, right? He's making $17 million and he's going to get a raise this offseason. He's a good player, and really he's killed the Celtics in the past. So this is a good player coming to the Boston Celtics. Does he change the calculus of the East? Maybe not. I mean, I don't think it certainly does not vault the Celtics into the top three. That's a special place that Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Philly reside. That's their separate spot. Boston is not in that spot. But if the other stuff pans out, if it does ease the burden on Tatum and Brown and gives them the opportunity to play 35 minutes instead of 39, then look, I can tell you, just sitting a little bit more can increase your production. That it's just being fresher when they need you to be fresh, helps taking the burden of carrying the team in the second and third quarters helps. So if this can help the Celtics be more of who we expected them to be, then great. Fans are going to love it. The Celtics are going to make a little bit of a run. Maybe they get into the second or third round, make another conference finals run. And who knows? I'm not going to say that this guarantees that, but it does increase the chances a tiny bit. But at what cost? And that's the real question. At what cost does the acquisition of Evan Fournier come for the Boston Celtics? I'm going to talk about that when I come back. BetOnline.ag, thank you for sponsoring this podcast. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on your sports action. NBA now, I'm sure the odds have changed a lot with these kind of acquisitions all over the league. We're in the middle of March Madness. You can bet on that. NHL baseball is coming back. If you want to bet on something different, there are TV shows that you can bet on, reality TV, award shows. That's all there. Updated odds and props on just about everything that you can imagine. Go to BetOnline, the website. Use your mobile device. Sign up today. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. So if you deposit $50, you'll get $25 as a welcome bonus. If you want to deposit $200, you'll get $100 as a welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place and best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics on Twitter and Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
You want all of the sports news you need in less than 20 minutes? Then you need the Locked On Today podcast with host Peter Bukowski. He updates you on latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. So get the Locked On Today podcast. Go ahead and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. So Evan Fournier comes at a cost. The Celtics used 2 second-round picks to acquire him, and they absorbed him into the traded player exception. If you rewind to the very, very beginning, before Danny Ainge started saying a bunch of different things, and I would have loved to come on here and tell you what Danny Ainge had to say about the trades, but he's not speaking until 8 a.m. on Friday, so I am recording this late on Thursday night, and so I don't know what Danny Ainge is going to say about this deal and why he did the two things he said he wasn't going to do. And apparently that must have been a smokescreen, because he said, we're not going to acquire somebody on an expiring contract, and we're probably going to wait until the offseason to use our traded player exception. And then he goes and gets Evan Fournier. Is that a failed attempt at a bigger deal that was rumored? Maybe. Is that a big lie that he was spreading to throw people off the scent through the media? Maybe. I don't know. Because a lot of the things that get said around the trade deadline are not entirely fully factual. We hear rumors, we accept them as fact because that's just our human nature. And then we hear something different, like something different goes down. So here we are. The Celtics used their traded player exception on the expiring contract of Evan Fournier, who makes $17.1 million. To get him here, the Celtics needed to clear a roster spot. And they also wanted to get underneath the tax, as I've said many times on this podcast, because they wanted to reset the repeater tax. So they didn't want to be a taxpayer this year because that repeater tax would kick in 2 years rather than in 4 years. So the Celtics sent out Daniel Tice, Javonte Green, and Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague goes to Orlando with a couple of second round picks. Daniel Tice, Javonte Green go to the Chicago Bulls. The Celtics get Luke Kornet and Mo Wagner. So they're maintaining their German basketball player quota. That's something. Mo Wagner, they're both big guys. Wagner has been an intriguing player. He's a young player who is, you know, he's still only 23 and can be, I think, I don't know how useful he's going to be for these Celtics, but he could be a guy that is a flyer. You don't know what the Celtics are going to be doing with these new guys and how this is all going to shake out. So maybe the Celtics give Mo Wagner a little bit of run. Tristan Thompson still out with the health and safety protocols. So maybe the acquisition of Wagner gets them a guy that can give them some backup minutes. He's on an expiring contract as well. He makes $2 million. I really don't know what his worth is going to be on the open market. He is only averaging 7 points and 3 rebounds a game, but he doesn't play a ton. He can be kind of an energy guy. Who knows? But he's more of a, I don't know. He's not a center. He's going to go out there and he's going to go take some 3-pointers for you. We'll see. I'm not putting much stock in Mo Wagner, right? And Luke Kornet, I think, eventually will get waived, although Adam Himmelsbach did not, he says the Celtics aren't going to waive him right away because of, I think, the Thompson thing. They're going to need an extra body here. Although I'm sure that at some point that Kornet's probably not going to stick around. There's no need to keep him around. They can buy him out or whatever and absorb that. Unless the Celtics win a championship, these moves got them underneath the luxury tax. So the Celtics ship out Daniel Theis. The Celtics bring in Evan Fournier, and now they've got an expiring. They have him as an expiring. They have got Wagner as an expiring. They've got Kornet as an expiring. So Danny Ainge did nothing but acquire expiring contracts. And in the end, he sent out, when you count Gordon Hayward going out, they created the trade exception by sending out 2 second-round picks. They sent out 2 second-rounders to get Evan Fournier, apparently, and then 2 second-rounders to get Teague to Orlando so he can get waived. So 6 second-round picks, I know people say, oh, they're just second-rounders, but it's not just second-rounders. Those have value. Those are meaningful. And if you say, well, the Celtics aren't going to use them, the other teams could. That is an asset that you attach to players. So if the Celtics don't have second-rounders to attach, then how do they get rid of guys that may be in that they might need to clear? So second-rounders are meaningful. They mean something, and giving up 6 of them it's not nothing. It's not 6 first-round picks, but it's still meaningful. But what do they do with Fournier now? This is where I get really, I don't know, unsure about what Ainge is really doing here. The Horford and Kyrie departures hurt. Horford leaves for nothing. Kyrie decides to go, and Danny Ainge pivots quickly and gets Kemba Walker. And for most of the season last year, Kemba Walker was awesome. He was an all-star. And things were going great. And then Kemba's knee starts bothering him. And then he plays all of that time in the all-star game. And then all of a sudden, the knee gets much, much worse. And this is problematic. And you go back to that all-star game, and it's just beyond belief. It keeps getting worse and worse and worse the more you think about it. So now Kemba is hurt and the knee becomes a problematic thing. And now you look at Kemba and you say the value with the injury and the salary and what his production is. And he now is being seen as a negative asset. So that's not great. Then Gordon Hayward decides that he's going to leave. And Danny Ainge doesn't see that coming either. So he doesn't trade him at the trade deadline. He can't trade him in that condensed offseason. That trade, whatever was going on with Indiana, happens. So he spends the two draft picks to get a traded player exception. And basically says, okay, we're going to extend our return. We're going to wait for a return here. And now you get Evan Fournier, who's an expiring contract, who's 29, he's 28. He's going to be 29 next season. His birthday's in October. He doesn't exactly fit in the timeline. Are you going to pay him now? No, I don't think so. I don't see this as an acquisition to keep him long term, because he's a good scorer. Teams are out there with money. They're going to want him, and he's going to get too expensive. Unless the Celtics can move Kemba Walker in the offseason and create a Kemba Walker trade exception, they're going to be really expensive for a team that's not a contender. And that's a problem. So you have to let him walk with the thought that you can create another trade exception. And this is, to me, Danny Ainge kicking the can down the road a little bit. So you take Gordon Hayward, you create the $28.5 million trade exception. You bring in Fournier, and you essentially, I think, because I don't see Fournier as a long-term guy, say, okay, we're going to create another $20-plus million trade exception. You still have $11 million plus on this one. Maybe the Celtics go out and acquire somebody over the summer that's making less, $11 million or less, and that could be a guy that you get. Fine. That's a part of the haul for Gordon Hayward. But then if you attach assets somehow to Evan Fournier, or maybe someone decides that they want to do the sign and trade, and you don't have to attach an asset, I'd be surprised. But if that's how it goes, then great. But I think you're going to have to do something to entice somebody to do the sign and trade. Why, if he is an unrestricted free agent, why would another team say, yeah, we'll do a sign and trade and hard cap ourselves when we can not do that? If Danny Ainge can't, Danny Ainge might have to entice a team with a draft pick or two more second rounders to help the Celtics with a sign and trade. So if he can do that, and if, I don't know what the market's going to be for Evan Fournier, but it's going to be more than $17 million. Is it going to be $20 million in that first year? Is it going to be $25 million? Is it going to be somewhere in between? I don't know what Evan Fournier is going to get on the open market. But if you can do that, then you create another big traded player exception and you start it all over again. Because one season of this was not enough. We got to do it all again. And I think of this as a shell game. And I compare this to the, you know, back when I couldn't pay my bills. And I had 5 bills to pay, but I only had enough to pay 3. And you get a couple that are past due, but you pay the 3, and then a couple of those can go past due. Now you've got to pay the past due amount on those other 2, and then you go back and forth and back and forth. If you've struggled financially, you know what I'm talking about. I feel like this is where Danny Ainge is going with this Fournier road. If the plan is to get another traded player exception and eventually acquire more players, and maybe if the end game is Bradley Beal, then Bradley Beal's that payday. Like, I don't have enough money to pay my bills, but I know in like 6 months, I got money coming. You know, freelancers know what I'm talking about. You know, you work on a project and then 6 months down the road, however many months down the road, you know you got money coming. You know you got an invoice out there, and you hope that Bradley Beal is that money. You start playing that shell game. All right, here's a traded player exception. Here's this player. Here's this player. Let's acquire this guy. This will keep the fans quiet for now. This will help this team out for now. And then we can do this, and so on, and so on, and so on. The problem is, eventually that runs out. That game runs out. And the Celtics have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown's on the first year of a four-year extension. And if the Celtics keep doing this, pretty soon he'll get sick of it. And if they don't get Bradley Beal, then guess what Bradley Beal can do in a couple of years or next season? Bye. I'm going to go to another team. I'm gonna say trade me, and then he can opt out of that $36 million because he'll get his money. And the final year of Jason Tatum's deal is in, well, he can opt out in 25-26, but 24-25, last guaranteed year of Tatum's deal. Well, if Bradley Beal opts out in 22-23 and he goes and signs a 2+1 somewhere or a 3+1 somewhere, and those two guys conspire, then where does Danny Ainge go? Right? You've got the possibility of, and I'm not saying that those guys would ever do that. We might be looking at two guys who never leave their teams, but we know today's NBA. We know how things go. And Danny Ainge has in his pocket Bradley Beal's best friend in the NBA. So he's either going to keep maneuvering to try to get Bradley Beal, but if he doesn't get Bradley Beal, then what? So I'm not sure what the long-term play is here. I'm not sure what the Celtics are doing with this move, but I'll tell you what, it doesn't feel like they've got anything. It just feels like they're kicking the can down the road. They're playing that shell game, and sure, it works for now, but how long can it work? How long can you play this game before the bill collectors start calling? And if that payday doesn't come, now you're 60 days past due and 90 days past due, and eventually there's going to be a day of reckoning. So Danny Ainge is going to have to swing for something at some point. It sucks that it cost Daniel Tice. I wanted to keep Daniel Tice, but clearly the Celtics thought that he wasn't going to be, you know, they weren't going to retain him. I don't know what they're going to do with Tristan Thompson. They can still do a ton of stuff at the draft and in the summer. So Danny Ainge is certainly not done with his dealings, but it's not where I thought the Celtics were going to go, and I'm just not 100% sure what's next. What about the rest of the NBA? Aaron Gordon was in those Celtics trade rumors, but now he is a member of the Denver Nuggets. So I'll talk about that when I come back. Built Bar is holding a tournament, a bracket, to determine the best tasting protein bar, because we're trying to figure it out ourselves. Like, we keep talking about which Built Bar is the best because they're all amazing. They're all low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're amazing protein bars. Everybody that I've talked to loves these Built Bars. So which of the Built Bars is the best? Right now, I'm still looking at mint brownie versus coconut puff. Eventually, we're going to get to caramel brownie and coconut brownie chunk and cookie dough chunk versus birthday cake. I don't understand how these are flavors that are still low calorie and high protein, but they managed to do it. It's amazing. Cookie dough chunk versus birthday cake is going to go up against cookies and cream in the flavorful four. Mint brownie versus coconut puff will take on the winner of caramel brownie and coconut brownie chunk. So if all of these flavors are enticing to you, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Check them out. Get one of the variety packs to try them all, and then you can figure out which one to order. You can go back, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Visit bar_built on Twitter to share your opinion, and make sure you go back to BuiltBar.com to check back and see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts, or follow us on Spotify.
March Madness underway right now. Top prospects are all on display in the tournament. And you want to learn more about them, so subscribe to Locked On NBA Draft for scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, full coverage of the tourney, 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe and follow Locked On NBA Draft wherever you get your podcast. So, Boston Celtics were hot and heavy in rumors for Aaron Gordon, and he ended up going to Denver. And I can see why they chose the Denver deal, because I thought it was just a better offer. Like, when we talked about what the Celtics can offer, they've already acquired Fournier at that point via the traded player exception. So the Celtics were going to basically offer Tristan Thompson, one of Aaron Gordon, Aaron Nesmith and Romeo Langford, and whatever else they needed, a pick, two picks. The Nuggets offered up Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a first-round pick. And so the Celtics could have maybe offered up this year's pick, but maybe Danny Ainge doesn't want to give up this year's first-round pick. Something we're going to ask when he has his media availability Friday morning. We'll figure out what first-round pick he was going to have to put up and why he might have kept it if he's going to answer that question. But Gary Harris, I know Gary Harris sucks, right? Everybody's going to say Gary Harris sucks. He doesn't suck. I don't think he sucks. I think that this is a classic change of scenery guy. And when you look at Tristan Thompson versus Gary Harris, which would you rather have? Well, I would take Gary Harris regardless of his struggles. I don't want Tristan Thompson. I want Gary Harris, because Gary Harris at least can fill that Evan Fournier role. You just moved Evan Fournier. You know, you've got this 26-year-old guy, so he's still just entering his prime. Yeah, he's struggling this season. Yeah, I get that. But we've seen him play well before. And change of scenery, more opportunity, less pressure. Let's see what you get. The upside for Gary Harris is certainly much higher than the upside for Tristan Thompson. So Aaron Nesmith is what about him? Or Romeo Langford? Now, I think they can both be good players, but RJ Hampton, it was much more highly touted. And we're going to see what he becomes. But at this point, I think the upside of RJ Hampton is well worth the flyer. And he can probably be more dynamic if he reaches his potential than Aaron Gordon and maybe Romeo Langford. Maybe they're wrong about him. But I think when you're the Magic and now you've clearly started your rebuild, you clearly started your teardown, I think the Harris, Hampton, and first round pick deal just simply outbid Danny Ainge, whatever Danny Ainge could do. Because he wasn't going to put Marcus Smart in that deal, and he shouldn't put Marcus Smart in a deal for Aaron Gordon. That wasn't going to get the Celtics anywhere. Marcus Smart in a deal that gets Aaron Gordon, ultimately Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier. As I said before, when these rumors started popping, I don't like it. Doesn't make sense to me. And so, of course, the Celtics, no, they didn't do that. So Aaron Gordon goes to the Nuggets, where I think he has the potential to be very, very good. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes, how things go with the Nuggets. The other big deal in this was Nikola Vucevic, who goes to the Chicago Bulls. The Magic get Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter Jr., two first-round picks, this year's 21 and 23. So Chicago gets Vooch and Al-Farouq Aminu. People say, Danny Ainge couldn't do that deal. We could match that. Could you? Like, okay, Wendell Carter Jr., I think, has a lot of potential. And it may be unrealized potential at this point, but he does have the potential there to be good. And again, young guy, 21 years old. Now, I don't know how good he's going to be, but he's 21 years old. And that is more in line of what Orlando is looking for, very clearly. Otto Porter Jr., he was just a salary match, but he is expiring. $28.4 million expiring. And I don't know. I think he might be bought out. So It doesn't even matter. You get him. You, if he's not bought out, whatever. Tell him to stay home. Go work out. Enjoy your summer. But taking Tristan Thompson back in a deal for Vooch, that wasn't going to be an option. Like, that's not palatable. The Celtics weren't going to give up those picks. And more so, he just doesn't fit what the Celtics are trying to do. So you would use the entire traded player exception. Vooch is under contract for 3 more years, declining years. Skill-wise, yeah, I get it. Sure, stretch big. He can hit the threes, all of that stuff. I don't think at $26 million and $24 million next year, a guy with a 30% usage rate and at 30 years old, that's not the guy you want next to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. That's just not the guy you want. This is not the investment you're going to make in this team. Like, the Celtics, look at the gymnastics the Celtics had to do to clear cap space and tax space. Acquiring somebody for $26 million, I'm sorry, it was not going to happen. And the last point with all of this is people say, well, don't good teams spend in the tax to be good? Sure. And the Celtics will pay the tax to be good. Tatum, Brown, Vucevic, who's 30, that's not good enough. Tatum, Brown, and Vooch isn't getting you over the hump. You put Tatum, Brown, and Vooch up there against the Brooklyn Nets. Who's favored in that series? Still probably the Nets, right? Like, it's not the move. So next year he's 31 and he's still making $24 million. So even if you had to use Marcus Smart in this deal, there's still Kemba making 34 million, $36 million next year. Jaylen making 25, Tatum making 28. And you want to throw Vooch in there making 26? Really? Doesn't fit. Doesn't work. And it's not really the style of play the Celtics are going to really try to employ. It's not what the Celtics are trying to do. So I was never in on the Vooch pursuit. I never blinked. I thought it was surprising that he moved. After all of the posturing from Orlando, it was surprising that he moved, but I don't think the Celtics really did anything like out of the, like, this is exactly what I think the Celtics should have done. So that's fine. Other deals around the Celtics competitors. Toronto keeps Kyle Lowry, so he does not go to Philly, which is good for Boston. Philly gets George Hill, which could have been a Celtics target, but they get George Hill. So they needed someone to solidify their backcourt. They got him. Okay, great. Doesn't change the calculus here. I think Philly gets a little bit better in that, but fine. Not a big deal. Bielitsa to the Heat. So the Heat get Bielitsa, and they get separately Victor Oladipo. That could be good. The Kings got Mo Harkless and Chris Silva. Bielitsa, that has the potential to be a shooter, a stretch four that the Heat could use. And if Victor Oladipo can be old Depot, then Miami might have passed the Celtics this season. Now, what does that mean in the future? I don't know, because we've talked about this. Bielitsa is an expiring contract. What's Miami going to do with that? What's Victor Oladipo really going to look like? What's he going to get paid? What's his long-term contract going to look like? What's Miami really trying to do there? This is going to be a short-term move. It looks good. And maybe this ends up putting Miami in the four seed. And if things work out great for Boston, maybe they fight for that 4 or 5. And it's Miami-Boston again in the first round of the playoffs. And we'll see. We'll see if the star power, I think the Celtics, you can make a case for either team in that. I think it'd be a hell of a series. But Miami did get better in the short term. So that kind of hurts the Celtics. Other than that, I didn't see any moves here in the East that hurt the Celtics. Brooklyn didn't do anything. They're just on the buyout market. Milwaukee didn't really do anything. Charlotte didn't do anything big. The Knicks, the Hawks. Hawks got Jamal Crawford from the Clippers. Sent Rondo over there. That's meaningless. So Chicago made its moves. Chicago is going to be an interesting team. Like, we could see by the end, the Knicks are going to fall out of the playoff, maybe fall a little bit. Charlotte's maybe going to fall a little bit with the LaMelo injury. Boston could rise if the Fournier stuff works out. The Heat should rise. Chicago should rise. They should get into the playoffs, maybe into the playoff play-in tournament. The Raptors are going to be the Raptors. They traded away Norm Powell. They got Gary Trent. Good deal for both sides. I think the Portland Trail Blazers are really going to love having Powell. I think it's going to make them hard to guard. Trent has been really good for them as well. But younger, that's going to, you know, that falls more in line, I think, of what Toronto's trying to do. I think Portland's much more in a win-now mode. So that works out very well. So the Celtics this season, I think when you look at everything that the rest of the East has done, we're still in the same place. Philly, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, still the cream of the crop in the East. Boston is in that mix, 4, 5, 6, 7. Evan Fournier could work out pretty well, and I think the net effect could help them climb as high as the 4 seed. And I think they could win one series. The second series would be really tough, but who knows what that... Maybe there's an injury. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it just the matchup works out fine and the Celtics get to the conference finals. I still think that there's a possibility of that. Of course, it's also possible that it doesn't work. The Celtics fall into the play-in tournament. They play Brooklyn in the first round and lose, and that would be just horrible. That's also possible. I'm not going to say it's not. So, but I think in the short term, Celtics got better. But the long term, still a question. So we'll see. Follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. Follow my work on Boston Sports Journal. 8:30 in the morning, Danny Ainge is going to talk about this. So you'll start seeing quotes tweeted out, and I'll be writing a story about it afterwards on Boston Sports Journal. So we'll figure out. We'll get a lot from Danny Ainge. And the first question is going to be, hey, Danny, you said no expiring contract, and you're going to probably save the TPE. Why didn't you do that? What's the motivation here? And we'll see what kind of answer he gives. Probably won't be much, but he'll give something. And I'll be talking about it, and I will be back on Monday. It's a Monday through Friday podcast with much, much more. The Celtics play Friday and Saturday against Milwaukee. Friday night against Milwaukee. Saturday against OKC. So there will be games to talk about when I record on Sunday night for your Monday morning podcast. It'll be there for you East Coasters right there when you wake up in the morning. And for you West Coasters, Sunday nights. And wherever you are in the world, whenever it drops in your time zone, I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's convenient for you. Thanks for listening. If you are a regular subscriber, thank you for your 5-star rating and your good written review. And for sharing the podcast, tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.